Dear fellow redeemed worshipers of our gracious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is the historical lesson for the Thanksgiving festival that you've heard from the Sunday school on. And it's a record of one event in the life of Jesus that, however, casts a light on his relationship with each and every one of us. Jesus is heading north toward Jerusalem, but he's still up in the north part, up in Galilee. And outside of a village there, 10 men meet up with him. They're still a fair distance away because with the skin disease, they're not allowed to approach. Just a word on these diseases. Largely it was leprosy, but there were other things as well that they may have had. They didn't do, the priests didn't do microbiological tests to get a specific diagnosis. But largely, it was what we know as leprosy. And so therefore, they weren't allowed to get closer to other people because of the likelihood of contagion. And so these men from a fair distance cried out to Jesus to have pity. To have pity upon them. They called to the one who is, well, to one and all who knew him and trusted and believed in him, God in the flesh, certainly a prophet of God, the power of God, come to earth. And they called upon the one with the great power to have also pity. Those who had leprosy and those who were in small groups like this because of the manifest contagion that they bore. You know what it's like living in hell? Hell is separated from every good thing, and in a sense it was like that for them. They were separated from everything that was good. They were separated from their wives, from their parents, from their children, from their brothers and sisters. They were separated from the whole of society. Nobody would come and put an arm around them and give them something to eat. It was left like it would be left for an animal, and so they could come and pick it up. What a deliverance it would be then if they were to be healed. In fact, what a deliverance it was. And so our text says, when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus sent them to the public health officials of the day, and that is to the priests. Therefore, able to be reunited once again with society, with the human race. And as they went, they were completely healed, completely restored, not just to health, but then to the love of their friends and families. It's hard to imagine a greater reversal of a person's situation. But in spite of this tremendous deliverance, only, as Jesus puts it, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. This was neither the first nor the last time that our Savior could quite appropriately ask that question. Was no one found to return and give praise except this foreigner? Won't anyone give thanks? Considering so great a deliverance, how could there be such ingratitude? 1 out of 10 turns around, sets aside his urgency to get to those priests and get his approval and get back home. Only one of them passed up all of that immediate comfort and went back. Only one, recorded here at least, gave praise to God. And that, of course, is the significant thing about Thanksgiving. In our day and age, people always ask, what do you give thanks for? And that's supposed to accomplish a great social good, and it probably does. I suppose if you count your blessing, it even releases endorphins. You even feel a little better. But you see, giving thanks has an object. To whom do we give thanks? TV for which I give thanks, or the car, the house, the boat, whatever. The important thing is to whom we give thanks. In the recent election, there was a big deal made in part of the rhetoric about who is responsible for the stuff we have in America. And, you know, one person said, well, you didn't build that. It's the government that built that, or government that made it possible. Oh, no, it was I. It was people who made it possible. A lot of focus, and you wonder, in the midst of all the back and forth, to whom do we really give thanks for all of these things? As we read the Old Testament lesson, Moses taught the people, if you've been able to get wealth, you thank him, the Lord of all things, who made such a thing possible. And so it is that this man came back and he gave praise to God and thanked Jesus, thus acknowledging Jesus as God in the flesh. Now, I wish that I could say that every day I'm the one that returns to give thanks. But I'm not. None of us are. Or none of us are perfect at it. You know, there was an interesting comment that one of my colleagues made. He said, I ask God to forgive me for my sins, and I also ask him to forgive me for my good deeds. What did he mean by that? Well, the fact is that as grateful and thankful to God as we are, even our good deeds aren't perfect. Even our good deeds and our thankfulness don't come to God out of a perfectly pure heart. We don't give credit absolutely where credit is due. We want to have plenty ourselves. And, of course, there's neglect. Our hearts are awfully forgetful when it comes to remembering the goodness and the grace, the unmerited, undeserved grace of God. So, God, forgive me for my sins of thanklessness. And God, forgive me also for my sins in thankfulness, for it certainly falls far short of what he deserves. As we travel pell-mell through life, you know, we're often like those nine who went dashing off to the priest, never to be heard from again. We go pell-mell through life, so busy enjoying what God has given us, that we often just simply fail to say thank you. And I suppose God knows that we have a thankful heart. But, you know, reading the scriptures, it does seem like he expects and desires to be told, oh Lord, thank you. Think of all the ways that we could give thanks, but don't. I think, for example, of daily devotions. Daily devotions are a struggle for a lot of busy people today. I'll include myself in that. It's easy for me because I can build a part of my day aside, and I can shut my office door and say, Sandy, hold the calls, and I can have uninterrupted devotions. But I know how our phone rings at home, and yours is probably the same. And even though it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes is all it takes, so often we fail to stop for just a time of quiet devotion. Personal devotions, family devotions, you know, they're just a short time that I can hardly say that we give to God, because after all, the time is His anyway. But it's a certain amount of His time that we take to think of what He says to us and to speak to Him in turn. And if we were to take 5 or 10 minutes a day, how many more thank yous do you think we would offer up to the one who has given us every good gift? Certainly more. We also, in our lives, although we are thankful people, fall short when it comes to giving thanks for daily blessings. By that I mean we take so much for granted. We're so easily assumed that our children are going to sit beside us at our table today, just like they did yesterday. We easily assume that the health that is here today will be here tomorrow. We so easily assume that the opportunities to worship in a church fellowship will be here tomorrow as they were today, and we'll have a voice to sing and choirs and music. Well, Jesus teaches us to pray, give us day by day our daily bread, to remind us that even though we've had it thousands of days in the past, this day is also a gift. We also fail to thank God for all of our troubles. Was talking to somebody many years ago, again, not somebody you will ever know, and we were talking about giving thanks, and he said, yeah, thanks for what? You see, he had an old car, and his house needed repair. And although he was a pretty healthy guy, he had a couple of health. Gone through all of the defects that there were in his life, and it was on that basis that he decided God didn't deserve his thanks. But God tells us to thank Him also for the troubles in our lives. To be good stewards of the crosses that He lays upon us. Yeah, I've used this illustration before. Just think of when you were vaccinated as a kid. How many of you turned up to the doctor after he'd pulled that steel needle out of your arm and said, thank you very much. Thanks, Mom, for bringing me down here and getting this inoculation. I truly appreciate it. The fact of the matter is that that may have saved us incredible tribulation and trouble later in our lives, or even not so much later. And so we should thank God also for the troubles of this life, even those that through tribulation bring us closer to Him, and through death bring us into eternal life. Paul gives us God's word about this in his letter to the Philippians when he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer present your request. Anxious and afraid. And it is a scary world. And goodness knows what, God only knows what the future holds for us. But even when we're inclined to be anxious and afraid, we rather should present our requests to God and cast our anxieties upon Him with thanksgiving. When was the last time you thanked God for certain frailties, your sicknesses, your disappointments, your grief? And yes, I know you don't always get to see why they were good for you. You don't always have the sheet that the doctor gives you that tells you all of the different kinds of trouble you can get from measles if you get them. God doesn't tell you what He saved you from or what good He's accomplishing in your life. How often do we thank God for His sickness, His suffering? Because after all, it was in bearing the cross that He bore our sins. How often then do we really, when you think of it, pause to thank God for our salvation. You see, like leprosy, sin separates us. Even in this life, it separates us from people we love because of things they've done to us or we've done to them. Sin separates ultimately from all the love and goodness that God intends to be ours. Like leprosy, sin brings us down to death. Like leprosy, leprosy destroys the body. Sin eats and corrupts our souls. But the same Christ that healed the lepers has taken the leprosy of our sin upon himself. And he was cast out from the fellowship of God because of the sin, the leprosy of sin, the corruption of our sin that became his. And by having taken death upon himself, he destroyed death. Death itself by his resurrection from the dead. And that's the heart and soul, finally, of our thanksgiving. That's why God himself, even though we don't merit or deserve it, has given us so many good things. So let's return and give thanks to God for all his mercies. Today, we sing his praises. Today, we ponder all his mercies. And I'm going to mention in the next minute or three some of these mercies. And you can think of others in your own heart as you give thanks for these. Let's thank him for his mercy, first of all, in and of itself, his mercy, his grace, that he has not given us what we deserve. Though we deserve darkness, the sun came up today. Though we deserve to suffer illness, he's given the world so many ways to heal. So let's thank him for his grace in accepting us without any conditions on our part. We don't have to look back and say, have I done enough? Have I done the right things that God can look upon me with approval? By grace, without condition, he has called you by the gospel. He's worked faith in your hearts. And he comforts us with that faith. Let's praise him and thank him for his church. And by that, I don't mean 547 North Main Street, the building here. But by that, we think of the church, the fellowship of believers, his instrument of comfort and strength and encouragement, because it is through this church that this word comes to the world. Let's praise him for each other, for the love that we share for one another. Let's praise him for every means by which the blessings of faith and salvation come to us and come to others. Let's praise him for beauty in music and art. Let's praise him for the choir that sang and the instrumentalists. Let's praise him for the Christmas carols that are soon going to be on our hearts and on our lips. Let's praise him for his saving word and sacraments by which he brings us a powerful, converting word. Let's praise him for his words of absolution in which he declares us free from our guilt and shame, by which he forgives us for all of our sins and forgives us our good works too, all of the sin that clings to them. And we can praise him for our material benefits, for our housing and clothing, our cars, our health, our life and strength, for even the secret joys that we experience as we read a good book or as we share a letter with someone that we care for, eat and drink, for hardship and sorrow, for the griefs of this world by which he removes from us the false hopes in this created world. Let's praise him for being active in history and for guiding the course of this world for the good of those who put their hope in him. Let's praise him for the abundance of his grace in all things, with heart and soul and voice. Gracious Lord, through all eternity to thee a joyful song I'll raise. But oh, eternity's too short to utter all thy praise. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in faith and thanksgiving. Amen.